You're listening to In the Moment
with Liv and Bix.
Hey, it's Liv
and Bix, and you're listening to In the Moment with Liv and Bix, a podcast for unsuccessful actors
by unsuccessful actors.
And this week, as promised, we have a very special guest, acting coach extraordinaire, self-tape filmer, actor. He does it all. Let's get right into it.
Karen.
Hello.
So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'd be happy to. I'm Cameron Moyer. I'm an actor. I'm an acting coach. And sometimes I say writer, but sometimes I take that back. Sometimes I don't feel like I've earned that credit, but I have made two films, well, a short film and a feature. I wrote both of those, so yes.
You are an actor, acting coach. Don't you do a bit of headshot photography, Cameron? I hope I didn't misspeak on behalf.
Okay, this is kind of embarrassing, but I think I'm retiring that part of my career and life. So basically, the business is I'm just too busy coaching now. It just feels like there's much stronger photographers. Photography I did when I was young, as well as acting. And I just love photography, but you sometimes have to admit there are people who are just killing it in a different, like, you know, your competitors or whatnot. And yeah, so right now I'm not pursuing the headshots. I just decided that literally last week, but I really want to only focus on the acting coaching and my own acting, basically. And now I'm writing these two pilots with two different writers right now. So yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a lot going on. You should not feel bad at all for letting something go, prioritizing.
Yes.
That's so great. I'd love to know some more about how you got started acting, what inspired you into this industry. Take us back.
Yes. And sorry, I'm being such a like Hugh Grant, awkward British guy right now. I need to like take a breath.
No.
So basically, I started acting kind of around the age of 8. And I grew up on this island called Jersey. And that is not New Jersey. It's Jersey Channel Islands, which is an English island by France. And it's 5 by 8 miles. You can Google it. It's very pretty.
Much cooler than New Jersey. Right. Yeah.
Well, little Matt. And so basically, there's this thing called the Jersey Eisteddfod, which sounds really like hoity-toity, and it kind of is. It's where people perform poetry and monologues and acting, and it kind of goes up to like young adult. And so that's kind of the best you can do acting-wise there. You can't really do TV and film there. It doesn't exist. So you could do amateur theater and community theater, which I did. But basically, the Jersey Eisteddfod was, I went there and I saw this boy on stage perform, and he was so confident and articulate. And I basically went, I want to do that. Like, I want some of that. And then I was always obsessed with American television, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and some other.
Oh, don't get me started. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I need to just sneak in a quick little anecdote because, like, maybe 3 weeks ago to a month ago, I just saw Spike, James Marsters, his band's play, like some bar over here in LA. I met him. I shook his hand. Like, oh my God, I died inside.
Okay, my Buffy anecdote is, I love that, by the way, is that I, being a young boy on the island of Jersey, which is very far removed from everything, it's like a weird little bubble, I wrote Sarah Michelle Gellar, and I got a postcard back that from her, like, signed, and I was just obsessed. I was just so happy. So go Sarah Michelle Gellar if you ever hear this.
She's such an angel.
Yeah, she is. So
I love her.
Try to fast forward a bit here. Like, I started doing that Jersey Eisteddfod. I started taking private acting lessons, which I requested from my parents, and they were very supportive and loving, and they basically, I got an acting teacher, but also that doubled as an elocution teacher, so I could speak very well and speak proper, which has all gone to shit now. So yes, basically, I did that.
You sound very eloquent to me.
Well, it's kind of putting on a little bit because at this point my accent just will sound insane. Like I'm half American, I'm a little bit Scottish, like I'm everything. So, and I've been in the States for 10 years. So my accent's definitely diluted, but I kind of can't help but like go into my British a little bit sometimes. So basically did the private acting lessons and I did what was called RADA and Lambda medals. So RADA's the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. And London's the London Academy of Dramatic Arts. They're the biggest acting schools. But if you're young, you can do these certificates where you do monologues and Shakespeare and acting and a lot of Shakespeare, did a ton of Shakespeare. And you get these nice certificates, which you can frame and be really proud of, basically.
So all of this that you were doing, like around what age was this? Yeah, like, it sounds like you were still pretty young.
Yeah, 8 to like 16, 17. Wow. And then I went to acting school. I went to do a 1-year foundation with RADA at a school called Cambridge Arts. And kind of funny story, Cambridge Arts is not Cambridge University, but I went to Cambridge University since my school was in Cambridge and I auditioned for Cambridge University plays and basically lied and said I was a Cambridge student and got cast.
Fake it till you make it, baby. Yeah,
and I did 3 productions with Cambridge and went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland with Cambridge University. And I never belonged to Cambridge, basically. So
that is so amazing.
That's amazing.
Hilarious.
Just like gaslight your way.
Seriously.
Gaslight your way to the top. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. And
wow, that's incredible. So what then brought you to the States?
So right as I finished that play, literally, I think it was even going a little bit over. I got into Stella Adler Studio of Acting for the 2-year conservatory. So that's, So I got in and I had to be late.
I studied for you.
Yeah, I had to be late for for the beginning because I was doing that play and it was kind of a big deal to go to the Edinburgh Fringe. And then I like arrived in New York and I really kind of applied on a whim because a friend was also applying. And so it was all very, and that's basically how I came to here. I did Stella Adler. That's where I got my technique. It's all like Stanislavski and Stella Adler based technique, which maybe we can go into later. But that got me here. And I'll just like really fast forward. Like I basically was modeling a bit, which was really fun. And like, that was kind of like always a bit of my dream as well to model. And I finally like made it onto a runway and like modeled for like Aveda and Uniqlo. So that was kind of amazing from like being like small town boy to coming to New York and doing all that. But I was also a party promoter.
Oh yeah. That must've been like, so wild.
That was like dreams come true. But I was also, when you're like, not that I'm old, but when you're young, I think you sometimes take stuff for granted. I was excited, but I was also like, I'm the shit. Mm-hmm. So I also totally took it for granted. So then basically I was a party.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like Liv and I growing up in New York City.
Right.
I'm so grateful for that. But there are so many times I think back to everything that we had available to us at our fingertips, but we were the same way. We were just like, we're just cool. And we're just going to cut school and go like smoke weed in the park, you know? Yes. And like all of this that we had available to us that like we didn't really take for granted, but looking back sometimes I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, there were definitely things I could have took more advantage of that I did not. But that's so true. The best.
And then, very quickly,
looking forward, no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, always try to have no regrets. I did party promoting, which was like quite a big part of my life for years. I was really wild. And then I booked my first job, which like we can get into later or whatever. But that's when I started buckling down and not doing the party anymore. And like, obviously acting was always in me since I was a young boy, which you can tell from my story. But that's when I kind of like got my shit together and started really focusing. Though, if you know me, which Olivia does know me well, like I'm always hustling. I'm always working very hard, kind of to my detriment.
It seems that way.
I'm a bit of a workaholic, but I guess it's like how I've achieved what I have achieved. But at the same time, always trying to also let go and not push as much. So sorry for talking so much. That's
No. I'm curious though, Cameron. I feel like, so you've had clearly a lot of technical training, but when did you make that? I know like for me, there was a certain point in my career where I made that clear transition from theater to television and film strictly. So when was that transition for you? And I'm curious as to why.
I got cast in like a NYU student film when I came in my second year here, my second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like that was my first experience doing a short film, and it was so mm-hmm. cool. It was Dans la Fumée, and I think you can find it on YouTube, and it's like lots of cigarette smoking and very like film noir and beautiful. And mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with this girl, but then she dresses up as a boy to come to the coffee shop and she's trying to speak to me. But I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I don't recognize her. And then at the end, the reveal is like, I see her as the boy and she takes off her hat and she's the girl. It sounds cheesy, but it was like filmed insanely beautiful and like smoky. And I smoked like 100 cigarettes, Don Hills.
oh my God.
I kind of loved it.
Oh, you did.
Okay. I think like that is like, that alone was enough to get me being like, okay, I love being on a set. I love film. I love the magic of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And then I got an agent like, I think right when I was out of school, and that was just from like writing like 100 agents. This was like the old school when you actually sent headshots in a package and stuff, which
yes.
like I don't think anyone does that much now. Maybe they do, but it's all email as we know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yes.
I know. I can't remember the last time I printed a headshot.
No.
I actually went to one of my first in-person auditions in a while.
Yeah.
This was months ago. And they asked me if I had a headshot on me. And I like looked at them like they were, I was like, what? Wow.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Of course not.
No.
So I'm curious, Cameron, when did you make that like, the self-tape success is very successful. I had to do that. But so what inspired, that was horrible. But what inspired you from being an actor going into coaching other actors? And how do you have such like, how do you have this successful business, self-tape success? I really would love for you to tell more of our listeners about that.
For sure. And thank you for the compliments. I really do appreciate it. So basically, I was dating this guy and it was long distance. He was in LA and I was in New York, and I'd already like lived in LA 3 years and moved back. And then I just met this guy in England and we started dating long distance. And I was struggling for monies. Like I'd done a million waiter jobs, which I fucking hate. I don't even like talking about this. It gives me like trigger, and for all the actors out there doing all the side jobs, I am with you. I stand by you. My heart is with you. Mm-hmm. I have done every fucking job there is. And I've got to like say the most hilarious thing about living in LA was I was walking some red carpets at night and then dog walking in the daytime. Like that was my reality.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah. So literally not even joking, humble brag, like walking the red carpet before Meryl Streep and then the next day like driving Uber. Like, so it was
so casual. Yeah.
So with self-tape, so basically with this guy, the pressure was on to like make money. And I think he kind of kicked me up the ass and was like, I think he commented on like the acting and everything, but he was a very hard worker, and something about him, like being kind of mean to me inspired me to be like, I'm going to show you. And I'd already had the idea to do this, like the self-tape business. I do photography and I had a really nice camera and it looked really beautiful because I had an 85mm, which for those of you who know cameras is not the best for self-tapes because you can't move back and forth, but they looked gorgeous. So basically I was doing these tapes for myself. This is when self-tapes were starting to happen, right? And more. And I went, I think I can do this as a business. And this is really shady, but there was another girl who was doing the same thing and I kind of copied her business. I'm so sorry. That's so mean. But she she actually wrote me.
Shout out to her.
She was she wrote me an email and was like, can you not completely copy my business? And I was like, oh my God. And I had to like rebrand and rethink. And so that was just when I was doing self-tapes, right? So that's how that happened. I know that wasn't completely clear, but basically ex-boyfriend like was mean and that made me like, wouldn't be like, I'll show you. So I started the business, got everything, all the shit together, the website, everything rebranded. And then the coaching just started coming out. Like that's not something I planned. Mm-hmm. But when you watch like 10 auditions a day or more, like every day for months, you start to pick up on stuff and you like, and with my training, everything, I just could not help it, where I'd be like, could maybe if you just tried like this thing at the end, or if you did a little bit of this. And then I started getting, then I couldn't watch a tape without wanting to like direct it and comment on it and make it better. And like, I always want the best for people. I'm like, I want them to book it. I almost don't want them to leave without it being amazing. So, but that was like,
this is true.
Thank you. Thank you.
That this almost is true. Cameron will go.
Yeah, she's like, I can speak.
I'm just going to vouch here. Like, just being with Cameron for years, he has helped me move in my career in ways that I don't know. Like, I feel like he's really helped me so much as an actor. So I have to tell you this too. I texted you this. I'm so happy to have a person like him in my corner, because he will make sure you get that take. He'll be like, nope, again, nope, I'll do it. But he won't just say again, just to make you do it again. He'll say again, but with notes. So. Yeah.
And sometimes we do one and then we're like, no, we got it. We didn't need to do that last take. We already like, yes. we got the good one, which is, I kind of like that. Then like, you know, you did everything. So basically fast forward a bit of that. I just, after a couple of years of me starting to coach more and then actually charge for coaching. And I started coaching a lot of kids and I had a lot of success with the kids, always going to producers and booking and whatnot. And so then some agencies started recognizing me as an acting coach. And that's kind of led me to where I am today, where I've had actors like Olivia booking TV shows and having like actual some celebrity clients and coaching a ton. And I kind of don't really like to do, I prefer just to coach and do the self-tapes and not, because I also just do self-tapes for people. But I don't, honestly, it's becoming more and more that that's going away, and it's a lot just mostly just coaching, if that makes sense.
Just coaching.
I do the soft tape. I like to film them and coach, but I also just coach, and then they could film it and all that stuff.
Yeah, go film on their own. I love how it kind of all happens so organically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like almost like out of necessity in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it really just came out of you. I like how you said like the coaching just like came out of you.
Yes.
As you kind of like, I know we're all, nothing's perfect, but like as you're, from what Olivia tells me, you seem pretty close to perfect as an acting coach. So how have you kind of crafted and worked on perfecting your approach and your process with actors? Like, what does an average session with an actor look like?
Totally. Average session, from the start, I always want the actor to give me the sides and the breakdown. So, but honestly, not humble brag, but if they came in just and gave me the sides, I could pick it up pretty quickly because I just see so many scripts at this point. So with the sides, then I'll always try and look at the sides before and see if the scene makes sense to me and read the breakdown. But then it really helps just being with the person straight away and doing a read, because then I'm a little bit weird. I'm a little bit like Rain Man, where the ideas just start popping and I start seeing that. And I also need to see where the actor is at. Now, if I was coaching more of a, like, because I coach a lot of kids, right, and teens and younger people, I do have more of a, like, linear approach to them. Like, I know that I want to start their audition off with a physical action, okay? So that is for multiple reasons. Like, it brings you into the scene. It should, the physical action should tell story. And it's visually interesting for like the casting director. So physical action examples could literally just be walking in, or it could be like cleaning a glass. And these are things which you don't want to do just for the hell of it. It should make sense for your character and for the story. But like, that's just like where I start. And then for me, it's the, like my Rain Man brain is the beginning, middle, end, and the event of the scene. And I always say that the event is at the end. And tons of stuff might go down before, but the event is usually, the way TV is written, is at the end. Film and theater can be a little bit different. So we always have to find what is the beginning, middle, and end, and thorough line. So, but as you can tell, like, there's a lot. And you both know from auditions, like, there's so much you can do. You can choose to be an animal. You can choose like, I might like you. There's just so many insane things we can approach, but I have my kind of little formula. And then I really work. I think the point of a good acting coach or a good acting coach works with the other person with where they're at. And like read the room and see like, first of all, how experienced is this person? Second of all, okay, like, have they, how prepared have they already come in? And all that kind of stuff. So it's not, although I would love to give an example of this is how it works, I do feel like it's always should be case by case because we are unique human beings.
Yeah, I was laughing, but I am a prepared actor usually, but there has been times that Cameron has set up his laptop next to the camera, and instead of having the prompter go because it was too fast for me, he like with his finger as he's recording and coaching was moving the scene manually for me. So
oh my God.
Like, if this is a coach that does go blah, blah, blah. But he's like, don't tell people that because now people are going to expect that.
Because, like, we
don't expect that.
We don't do it. Like, back in the day, and we're literally just talking before pre-COVID, you would be expected to be off book. And then more and more in the last couple of years, they give us these day turnaround times. And it's like, you could really give yourself like an anxiety attack if you try to learn some of these like pages, unless you're a naturally good person. Like, I can learn lines, but if I have one for the next day and it's tons of pages, that's, I'd rather focus on like, what's the story? What's the relationship? What are my choices? What are like interesting choices rather than just focusing on the lines? And at the same time, I sometimes like do judge people that come in and are not off book, but that's just my own little like mean actor coming out. but I literally, Olivia, I do the same thing. So I'm literally pot kettle black. Like, it's outrageous that I even think that because I do it. I've done it plenty of times. So
Has been since, so actually what year did you start Self-Tape Success?
That was like 16, around then,
So from starting Self-Tape Success until now, with the whole, you know, the changes with self-tapes and us not going into the room and all of that becoming so normalized, what have you noticed to be the biggest difference in either the way you coach or the way you tape from when you started until now?
For me, I don't know if I've changed that much, but I can say this, and that's, I know firsthand from casting directors that they want a finished product. And then there was like that whole article lately where they were like, you don't need to be off book. We don't expect it to be filmed perfect, but I don't know if that's all entirely true. I think casting directors are on our side completely, love casting directors, but we do have the chance at home to make it a really good tape. We have the time. We don't always have the time, but we are expected. And so I guess I feel like if anything, the bar got higher, which is which is messed up because it also got I don't know. It's hard. I don't want to be. I also just don't want to be negative. We're still. Your question is really good. Because it touches on like everything with like the freaking pandemic and everything, but we're still learning. Like, it's still evolving. Like, especially with like the writer's strike right now, like things are changing at like a fast pace, and we might have new rules. Like in England, I don't know if they always stick to this, but they're meant to give you like 3 days to work on it. There's like rules in England, and like not tons of
I wish we had rules.
Seriously. Like
it's a lawless land out here.
It really is.
But I then heard even from the London actors, like, but you kind of like they want you to get it in sooner. They don't want you waiting around or stuff like that. I don't know.
It's almost like it is tough because it's very different office by office. Some casting offices genuinely really don't care if you have the sides in your hand.
Right.
But then done workshops with other casting offices where they say straight to your face, no, I don't want to see your papers. I don't want to hear rustling. If I see your papers, like, I just don't think you're prepared. So it really is just like how you were saying your actors that you coach is so case by case. That's also so case by case. So it can get really tricky and difficult for actors to kind of navigate and juggle, like, how much should I be putting on the production of my self tape and how much should I be putting the work behind it, and you're trying to
what's really interesting there is I have some, you know, I have such a different range of actors, and some of them are like on TV shows, they're kind of their mm-hmm. names and whatnot. And some of them are also a little bit older, and some of it's so interesting. Some, like, I think hold the sides on purpose. Like, and it's just like they're either because it's their process and they need to be able to grab the line, or they also, sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like they're purposely holding them to be like a little not try hard or something. It's really interesting. And then some who are like seasoned actors on TV shows are like completely off book every time. And I'm like, whoa, like mm-hmm. what I'm trying to like say there is, I don't think there are these rules. You're totally right, Vix, that there's, it's like case by case with cast and director as well. Some are real sticklers, but I feel like, which like, I think it would be fun to talk about the self-tapes. It's almost, it's fun to break the rules sometimes, you know? I don't think me and Olivia have done this too much, but like sometimes I like to change the lighting and or make it a little darker and things. No, I think we have done that for like a horror mm-hmm. film. Like,
yeah,
like,
I was going to say, we definitely have yeah, done that.
Like change things up, like the lighting and stuff, like just different things. Sometimes I like to add like a sound effects and things like that.
Ooh, that's fun.
Sound effects.
Hey, I mean, yeah, I love that too. Yeah. There's Stranger Things, and we I feel like we referenced him a few times on the podcast. What's his name? Yeah. He plays Billy. But his self tape was so obscure. He had music.
Yeah.
He had sound effects. He had music. Then he came in. He had taking his top off and then a cigarette, and he was improv dancing. And so sometimes
just wild.
Yeah. Right. So it's, yeah. So it is, I think, also a casting director. It's like a case by case kind of thing. I'm curious, Cameron, can you share, and I think this is a good time to do some humble bragging, but share some success stories of self-tape success. And if you want to share some funny, maybe horror stories from your journey.
Well,
guiding actors into your home. Yeah.
First of all, you're one of my success stories because we worked our asses off on many auditions, and we were, you know, I told you it's going to happen. You're going to book your first co-stars. Yeah. You're going to do this. I was like, you have to be patient. And it was like a year or two, or I think it was like more than that. It was like two or three, right?
Definitely before. More. I was like, he's being nice. Yeah.
Like, it takes time, people.
Make it better.
Yeah. It takes time. Like, you know, I said I booked my first movie, like that had been, I'd been in New York for quite a few years before that happened, mm-hmm. you know. So are we allowed to see what credit you've, yeah, because are we allowed to see your credits on
IMDb? It's on my IMDb, yeah.
That's Three Women, or the, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Or is
it, yeah. Three Women, You Helped Me Book Stars, You Helped Me Book It All, Cameron.
Yeah.
My biggest credits, Cameron, is.
Aw. So,
you have, though. I'm not even trying to be nice. It's facts.
Yeah, success stories, some of them, it's more for me about people who I worked with for a while, like one of the kids mm-hmm. I coach, Milan Marsh, and we did tons of auditions, and then she got booked a really good guest star on mm-hmm. The Wonder Years, and like she got flown to Atlanta, and but like that's just like we did a ton of auditions, and another one, Lyris Logan, and like, you know, I become friends with the mothers a lot of the time. Celine's a friend of mine, that's her mom, and we got Lyris booked on For Life, we got her booked on the show Betty. So those mm-hmm. like my cutesy ones. One of my like clients who is, you may not know him yet, but you probably do actually, like if you saw his face, his name is Sullivan Jones, and he's been in so many shows. You just have to Google him. Mm-hmm. But he's in the Gilded Age right now. He did Atlanta. He just did this really big film playing Muhammad Ali. I think it was with the George Foreman movie. I think it was. Anyway, he's legit. And Google him. You'll be like, oh. And he's going to be like...
Yeah, I see him. He's in a lot of great things.
Yeah, he's going to be... I mean, he already is established, but he's going to be super established. And we coached for a long time. And I'm just going to be really honest here. He used another coach as well, so I can't take all the credit for him. But he mm-hmm. gave me like a really beautiful testimonial, and it like said the nicest words to me. And I was just like, for me to know that I really was part of his journey, and still am. He came in the other day. But, you know, it's interesting because sometimes actors, like, they start booking and then I won't see them. And then they'll come back and be like, hey, I'm like, I'm still here. Now, horror stories, the one that always comes to mind It's not even that exciting, but this guy came in and had to eat a burger, and I had to do a close-up on his mouth while he's eating this disgusting burger, and he had to do it in like a sloppy, messy way. And that was one of the points where I was like, this is my life. Yeah, I just have to film like a guy like eating a sloppy, disgusting burger, and he was just like chomping on it. Like, it was just, I can't describe
it.
Oh my
God.
And I was like, ugh, this is not cute.
I'm getting like a visceral reaction.
Yeah, good.
So,
that was me too.
I feel it.
I think like it's not a horror story, but it was kind of funny. Shaggy came in, and I usually know if it's like a celebrity client because like their assistant's talking to me. It's always the assistant booking it, and I'm like, and they're like,
yeah,
and they might like drop something like, yeah, they're pretty well known. Actor or something like that, they'll say something. Or I've only once had to sign an NDA. I kind of want to break it just because it's really funny. It was Priyanka Chopra. I'm definitely gonna break it. Priyanka Chopra, so Nick Jonas's wife. Yeah, and she like left her makeup here, and I was like, should I sell this on eBay? Is like that a thing? Can I do that?
Is this a thing?
Somebody would buy it.
Yeah,
right. Like.
And so Shaggy came in, and that was, kind of funny. Yeah. Because, like, he just didn't look like himself.
He was auditioning for something?
Yeah. Yeah, a movie. I don't think.
Okay.
He does some acting occasionally. And I just remember, like, watching, being, like, a little underwhelmed by his performance. And I wanted to, like, coach him, but they hadn't really hired me for coaching. So I was like,
Just for taping.
Oh. I'm just going to keep my mouth quiet. And I didn't coach Priyanka Chopra. She had her coach Zoom in, Skype video in. And by the way, like, I think that was for like a very big movie because Priyanka Chopra does not need to audition. Like, and this wasn't that long ago. So, well, actually, no, it was a couple of years ago, but trust me, she was already very famous. So I was like listening to her coach, which if I hope the coach isn't listening, but I was like, I could do better.
So. You're like, should have paid me.
Right.
I'm right here.
Sometimes so I'm humble.
When it comes to, it's good sometimes.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the materials that your clients bring in,
yeah,
is there anything that, you know, gets you excited? Like if you see, you know, like a multicam comedy, you're like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Yeah, what draws you in, gets you excited?
That's a good, really good question. Definitely do get excited. I think I get excited from shows that I know, like the Just Like That Sex and the City was casting and people were coming in and I'm like, ooh, I know this really well. I like, what I'm obsessed with is like these weird kind of futuristic sci-fi things, kind of like Black Mirror, like anything like that comes in, like robots, AI stuff, that's going to be a very popular topic in shows.
Like, did you get any of those auditions recently? Because Black Mirror is coming out again.
I wish. Seems like they went with like a very celebrity focused cast, which makes sense at this point because it's such a like prolific show.
Yeah.
I auditioned for like the show that's coming out called Fallout, which is based on a video game, which is like an apocalyptic future. And that's going to be such a cool TV show. That's going to be on Amazon.
I think I just read the script, one of the scripts for that. I think somebody in my acting studio read for that, and we did it for
Where do you go, Bex? What's your acting studio that you go to?
I go to Annie Grinley Studio. Out here in Los Angeles.
Nice.
She's incredible. I love her so much. It was kind of the first studio that I fell into out here just by happenstance. And I feel so lucky that it worked out. I can imagine for actors, it's kind of difficult to, or maybe it's not, but finding it like a therapist. You might have to bounce around a little bit, find somebody who can work with you, who you feel comfortable with. So, yeah, I feel really grateful that it was like a one-and-done situation.
That's amazing. I actually think you were lucky in the best way. Like, that's really amazing because finding, like, your acting home, and I don't really take that many classes anymore, but I sometimes go to, like, the Freeman Studio, and they've got a really good reputation in New York. And they bring in a lot of, like, working actors, which I like. So sometimes you'll see, someone teaching, and you're like, oh, I've definitely seen them on like a million shows. I used to go to BGB in LA. Have you heard of BGB?
I haven't heard of that one, though, but I should check it out because I do like, you know, exploring around,
yeah,
seeing what's out there, you know, getting just, yeah, talking to different people and getting perspective, different people. I feel like is
for our listeners, like whatever your point of your career, they always say it's good to be in class, but especially when you're like,
yes,
in your younger and newer and all those things, like it's being in class is like how you kind of get clued in and like you hear like what's happening. It's just it's a good way to like actually network or at least be like clued into the industry. So honestly, if I had the energy, I would be in class weekly still. And sometimes when I have that mental capacity and I have like a bit of free time-ish, I will dip myself back into a class for sure.
I love that you said that because it's so true. I feel like immersing yourself in the industry, like Liv and I talk about this a lot on the podcast, how isolating it could be to be an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't go into an office. You don't see the same people every day. So it can be very lonely and you can feel, yeah, like you're on the outside and you don't know what's going on. So being fully immersed in that in a way that you can go once a week or like, once a month even.
I think like you're speaking on a, like, I love what you're saying. And I think it's we have to remind ourselves, it's a lot about putting yourself out there, which sounds so cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, there's a lot of things you can go to and attend for actors. Now, sadly, and I hate even bringing up the pandemic, it did kind of crush a lot of that stuff. But fortunately, it's like on the return. But like Atlanta, there used to be like weekly meets for all the actors, but only like the real Atlanta actors knew about it. I don't think it even happens anymore. But there are stuff you can go to. When you become SAG, there's so many SAG events. There's like so many like film festivals, just things that you can go to. And I used to be so about going to a lot of those things. And I met a lot of great people. And I honestly need to like work on getting back to like that kind of networking, a bit of the hustle kind of thing. Or just meeting people is so important as an actor.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get a lot of your jobs. A lot of it is who you know, it's talent and a little bit of luck. Yeah. So definitely networking is, and yeah, that's definitely important to be in these classes. So a lot of our listeners are new actors. So I would love for you to share a bit about your career coaching because I know you do that as well. So what factors are taken into account when you are assessing an actor's career path?
Totally. So career path, that's pretty like kind of specific in a way, which good question. I'm just like need to think about this. So it really, first of all, just depends what, like where you're coming in at. Are you completely brand new? Like, because at the beginning, there's a lot you can do by yourself. Like, it'd be great if you want to work with me, but there's a lot of basics you need, which you can find online. And like, you could totally pay me to tell you what to do, but we know there's a wealth of information online. We know that you have to like, you know, you have to get your headshots, you have to get like your profile, acting profiles, all these things. And I can tell you how to do that and do it like well, but I just think there's something to say about knowing the obvious things. Like you need to go to a class, you need to, and you've got to know if you're specifically going to TV and film, like there's a technique to acting on TV and film and you need to know, like you need to get the basics of that. And so, getting a TV and film class and building your acting reel is also obviously a really important thing. So, oh my God, I feel like I'm not answering the question properly.
No. It's hard.
No, because you are.
It's really hard because I just asked you assessing an actor's career path, but it just depends where they are in their career path, right? So if someone is just starting, there is the obvious
things.
But so I guess
if someone's a bit more along in their career, then yes, then we need to maybe see what are the weak spots? What can we like improve on? Is it the agents? Because let's be honest, half the time, like you need great reps. Now, if you haven't got many credits, you might not be able to move up, but you also might be able to. It's like about how you package yourself, you know? It's about how you introduce yourself and it's like, it's marketing. So you don't write like, I've only done this. You like big this one thing you've done up and you sell which kind of type you are. And you talk about the languages you speak or the special skill you have to make it look like they want you on their books. Sometimes it's about the representation because even though it's kind of messed up, we always need to be moving up. Like whether that's every couple years or 5 years or even 10 years, like you need to, if you aren't moving up in agents, unless you find someone that's like really great for you, it's just, if you're moving up in your career, you'll probably get bigger agents. Or if you're really doing that well, the fact is agents are going to approach you at one point. So even if you don't like force yourself to, if you're killing it, someone's going to come knocking at your door. I remember I did this film Black Adam, which pretty much got cut out of unless you slow down for like 1 second. That's an actor horror story, getting cut out of any TV or movie.
Yes, yes.
My big moment was dying and they wouldn't even give me my line. So there was like another helicopter pilot girl and she just done Stranger Things. I can't remember her name, so apologies to actress. But she was like, I think she played like the school therapist or something. And she's like, was only in a couple scenes, but they mentioned her name on Deadline. And like, she had like a bunch of agents knocking at her door just from that mention in Deadline. So like, it's pretty crazy how things can like,
Deadline.
Like change like pretty quickly. Not to go completely off what I was talking about, but
yeah,
in terms of like the career path, I think there's so many things you can do, and reps, one of them. It's also your acting profiles, resume. And sometimes I also go like a little bit more like holistic-y and life coachy. Like sometimes it's also about, are you happy? Are you giving it your all? Like, is there, do we need to like, do we need to shake up the fucking energy and get you excited again? Because God knows if you do this long enough, there's going to be some rough times, you know?
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Talking about shaking it up, but also, are you happy? Because we talk about that in like, I think one of our mental health episodes, yeah, as
just
well.
Like your mindset of putting yourself in a place that is going to help you get further along.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, that's so dependent on how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your career. So that is really great that you, you know, introduce that to your clients as well, because I think that's a super important part that I haven't really experienced in any career coachings I've done before. Like I haven't had somebody bring in a personal aspect of your happiness or like your goals. So I really love that you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all ties in together. Like, it's so hard because there's so much work we can do as actors and action. But then sometimes I tell people, like, take a break from doing all that action, even if it's just for a week or 2 weeks, because, like, you sometimes have to just let it breathe and see, like, what's coming of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I almost feel like getting, like, I could get very emotional with, like, being on the actor's journey. Can be a really long one, and like going back to before, like a lonely one and a hard one. Like people just don't get it. And like my partner, who we've been together for 2 years now, I think it's taken those 2 years for him to like really understand like how freaking hard this is. Because like, you know,
I'm nodding my head so hard right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because because Bix and I was talking about it. Bix made a hilarious TikTok about it, but people don't understand how intricate and how everything is not black and white in the actor's world. And it's not linear, but I've had people, you know, sit I have a friend who's a producer on this show. I have to tell them you're on it. We need to get you famous. I have to let them know. Like, and I'm like, this is like, you can't just tell production like, hey, this person was a co-star on your show. Make her famous. So it's just funny, like how, yeah, if you're not in the industry, how they just don't know.
Yeah. And it like takes time for you to understand, because it does. Like literally completely same. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years now. Yeah. And same, like he's also in the creative industry. So he does have an understanding of it. But he even expressed it to me himself, like realizing how like the auditions I'm doing, how much work it is to memorize these lines and set up and tell a story and then tell another story and tell another story and edit it and get it in. And it's so much work that one day he came to me and he was like, oh, my God, I see you. I see this. And oh, my God.
I love that. I see you.
Yeah.
I want to like also just add a little positive note. And I do say this to the people I coach and my friends and actors, like you have to trust that there's going to be another audition. Cause some people go months. I had a time where I only had my manager and I was getting barely any auditions for months.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, it was a dark time. And so you got to know there's always going to be another audition and there's always going to be another booking. Mm-hmm. And like, it took me a year and a half since my last booking, but the booking I just got was really good. And like, then you got to kind of run. Now I've got to use that energy. Sorry, I'm suddenly making it about me, but use that energy to like propel to the next thing and push forward and move up.
So Cameron, I don't want to, because I know we're running up on time, and there is a question from one of our people on TikTok. Yeah. So we asked, Bix asked the audience, like, hey, anybody have questions? And one of the questions was, how do you know if you're with a good acting coach already? Like, what are some of the green flags to look for when you are with an acting coach?
Well, so if you're submitting through your agent, like, has your agent given you any feedback that really enjoying the tapes? If they don't, can you ask them? Because if your agent's not happy, that's not a good thing, or your manager. If you're self-submitting and you're getting coached, also, are you getting any feedback? Are you getting like callbacks and sent to producers? By the way, you don't always know if you're getting sent to producers. You should, but I've had it happen where I happened to know the casting director, assistant, and he was like, oh yeah, it was for The Blacklist actually. He was like, oh yeah, you went to producers. It was between you and another guy. I never even knew it. Like, no, it wasn't even told.
Oh my God.
So I'm just know the stuff going on behind the scenes. We don't always get privy. We're not privy to all the information, but that's a really good question. But I think you should be happy if you should feel really good about your audition when you leave the room or when you get off the Zoom. I think it should be that. Like, does your coach get you excited and breathe new things into it that you didn't think of? I mean, I think like going back to you asking about my technique and like, I told you that I'm a little bit like Rain Man. Like, your acting coach should be able to give you like choices which you did not think of and that like excite you. Like, me and Olivia are often like, yes, this, let's do that. Yeah. And it's like, we get excited yes, with yes. each other and we have fun. Yeah. So I could probably talk about the acting coach thing for like a long time on what makes a good one. But I think I'm going to be a little cheesy here and just trust your instinct, trust your heart. Like, and lastly, have they got good reviews and are they actually booking themselves if they're a working TV and film and actor? Not that I'm like famous or anything, but you can look and see I have credit. So I have experience. And if they're just an acting coach and they don't have TV and film experience, then they better have some like bomb ass reviews.
Yes. Well, Cameron, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to spend it with us in the moment with Liv and Bix.
Yes.
We appreciate you. I know I'm like so dramatic for
no,
what.
No, I love it.
I'm an actor. But
I want to chat more. Maybe we could do a part two one day.
I would.
Oh, we would love to have you back. This hour went by so fast. I feel like we could sit here and talk about so much more. We only like scratched the surface.
Yes.
But yeah, we would love to carve out some time right now for you to let our listeners know where they can find you. If you want to plug anything, share anything, this is your moment.
That's really sweet. Thank you. I guess my business is Self Tape Success. There's literally the website, www.selftapesuccess.com. And I am on Instagram with the same Self Tape Success and my personal Cameron Moyer. And yeah, no, I don't have anything to plug. I am open to new clients, I would say, and would love to work with people and help you. But yeah, see what's on the horizon next for moi.
And you do a virtual and in person?
I do. I do in person in New York City, and I work through Zoom. And also, thank you for bringing up the career counseling, because I do that, which I think sometimes can be really helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I've done that as well. So
yeah,
I loved it.
Thank you. Aww.
Success story over here.
No, but yeah, I need to stop. But yeah, we're very thankful for you to come on to our podcast, Cameron. And we would love to have you on again. And yeah, so we have a signature sign-off that we do where we go, all right, bye. So if you don't mind doing that with us.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into The Moment with us. Make sure you tune in next week for more shit talking.
Our cover art is by @SLCSadGirl, so make sure to go give her a follow.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at ITM with Liv and Bix.
Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, if you're feeling extra generous,
we won't hate it if you rate and review.
Bye. Bye.